Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to another Top 10 Debate. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Andy Murray from What Culture to talk about the stiffest WWE wrestlers ever. But before we get into it, for a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Andy Murray to talk about his article, The 10 Stiffest WWE Wrestlers Ever. I bet you didn't struggle to make this list, did you?
No, not at all. Right up my back alley, this kind of content. Stiff chops, punch you in the face, drop you on your head. WWE, not the stiffest wrestling promotion of all time, you know, typically a safer style, more clinical style, with good intentions, protect the performers, protect their long-term well-being and everything. So for like the kind of criteria of this list, my rule was the wrestlers we're going to talk about today, they don't necessarily have to have done their stiffest work in WWE. They just have to be stiff bastards who have had a considerable run in WWE. Mm. So if you're listening at home and you hear us not talking about Stan Hansen, who would be like a top three candidate any other time, it's because, you know, his runs in WWE were fairly obtuse and kind of not at all relevant to the wider trajectory of his career. So, yeah, man, it was a fun list to compile for sure. I wasn't really sure how to rank them for the list on the website because it's like, well, I've never been hit by any of these men. So how do I know personally how stiff they are? So I've gone for kind of an approximation on the site, but you can check that out. We'll talk about some of the most fun examples here, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. And before we dive into the sort of more maybe old school wrestlers, let's talk about what you describe as a modern day anomaly and someone who I have been lucky enough to be in attendance for on several occasions, whether that be WCW or NXT TakeOver, to feel what his chops are like. And someone who it's kind of disappointed us on NXT last week for not murdering Drake Maverick in all. It took like three moves for him to kill him, and none of them was a chop. But yes, let's talk about Michael. Let's talk about Walter. Sorry, I always get those two confused.
Yeah, he is an anomaly in modern day WWE because the WWE system, a lot of the time, and it's been this way for decades, it's why kind of countless people haven't been able to adapt and haven't succeeded. You can paint people as diverse stylistically as Scott Steiner and Mystico or Sin Cara with this brush. But he's a rare example of a guy who has come into the system and not changed much for the system. Instead of WWE going, hey, you've got to wrestle our way, as they often do with some of the names I've just mentioned there, they've, for the most part, just let Walter be Walter. And maybe his matches aren't quite as head droppy, but as they may have been in WXW or elsewhere on the indies. But my God, that Ilya Dragunov match last year certainly didn't hold anything back. Walter is, he was the cover guy, the guy on the cover image for this article, because there's just a great image of him chopping Josh Bodum's chest in Rev Pro and all the skin rippling like a tsunami in each different direction. He throws these chops, and when you're in the building, you know, usually you get a slop, like a slap or a nice sass. Sometimes you get like a dense bud when it really connects with like a bonier part of the ribcage. Walter sounds like mortar blasts. They sound like an explosion's gone off like across the room. They're brutal. And you know, anyone who steps in the ring with the guy and he chops them up, their chest is coming away looking like raw mince or hamburger or lasagna. Take your pick. Oh. He's messing your chest up. I've seen him have, there was a match with Ilya Dragunov in Germany that he had, I think 2017, 2018. It's one of the 16 carat shows where Dragunov comes away and he's literally, it's gross. He's peeling bits of his skin away. Yeah. Yeah, it's horrendous. He's, you know, Sheamus is a very stiff worker by modern WWE standards. You see it in his work. He's a very, very stiff wrestler. But Walter makes him look as pillow-fisted as Ben Askren. Like, he's he's something else. And it extends to the, you know, the big bombs, the big power moves, the head drops, everything else. He's got a lot of King's Road in his style. That style was very destructive to its main practitioners in the 90s, 80s and 90s in particular. But you never hear about Walter injuring people, which is, I think, the ultimate compliment you can pay him. He works this high impact, deadly looking, sounding and feeling style. But he's not putting people on the shelf. You know, a chop to the chest, it's going to look gross and it's going to hurt and you're going to have bruises for a few weeks. But you're not going to have any lasting damage really from that. You know, most of the time you're just going to have some cosmetic damage. So while it looks utterly devastating, it's actually not the worst thing in the world. And yeah, he does drop a lot of people on their heads as well, but how many concussions has he inflicted? How many times have you heard of someone jamming up their neck after wrestling Walter? There's an art to what he does. You know, the Bret Hart thing is always make it look as real as possible without hurting them as much as possible. There's a more elegant way of phrasing that. I just can't find it in my stupid brain at the moment. Walter is almost at the opposite end of that. And he gives the impression that he is really destroying people. But at the end of the day, he's kind of not. And his matches in WWE feel utterly unique just because they're so goddamn stiff, man.
A bit of a legacy of chops here at What Culture. We retired the Ric Flair rule that we used to have through our live streams. But the most infamous example is, of course, when Adam Cleary, I think, it was 27 initially, but more throughout the evening, over 30 chops. You may well have seen the image of his chest as it progressed from red raw to weird bruising to, yeah, all the other permutations of that. Would you rather have that experience of one night, 30 chops sort of spread out through the night and given by piss weak people like myself and other members of the What Culture office, or one Walter chop, maybe even at like 50%?
Oh, wow. What a question. It's like the age old question of, would you rather fight 100 rat sized elephants or one elephant sized rat? Not that you guys are rats or elephants. Oh man, I think I'd rather take the chops from you guys. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, boys. Like, no offense, but I've seen those noodle arms in the flesh. You know, like, Cleary was bruised up for a while. He said he had some trouble sleeping afterwards, but I think I would have trouble living after taking a Walter chop. Me personally, I'm a wimp. I'm a weakling. I can't take that heat. I'll take your guys any day of the week.
I go back to a friend of the channel's, Chris Van Vliet's chest when, who was it? Oh, it was Tyler Breeze and Sean Spears.
That's right.
And like, you know, they're not known for being, I'm not volunteering to take anything from those two, particularly chopped by the looks of poor Chris's chest. But like, that's one level. And then you've got bloody Walter. There's no chance in hell I would go near that. Mm-hmm. You alluded to wrestling in Japan. Let's talk about the Steiner brothers, because, oh God, that is another, I mean, there's everyone on this list I wouldn't like to step in between the ropes with, but particularly Rick and Scott. They didn't mess about, did they?
No, they really did not. Like, early career, they certainly transitioned quite a lot away from this style, like, as their careers progressed. Like, when Rick Steiner was the dog-faced gremlin in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, he wasn't doing what he was doing in Japan, and the same with Scott later on as well, although Scott was still a lunatic. but, yeah, if you go back and watch them, at, you know, late 80s, early 90s, these guys are the definition of just dumb jocks. Like, their stuff looks, like, stylistically, their stuff looks so crazy and so reckless, even in Japan. And I think that's part of the reason they worked so well in Japan, was because they had this bullish kind of locker room bully mentality coming into this land of, you know, honor and fighting spirit and everything else. And they just drop people on their goddamn heads. And the thing about the Steiners as well was they throw these crazy stiff suplexes, slams, and the Steiner screwdriver, one of the riskiest moves of all time. Oh. They throw all these things, but every time they hit a big bomb, they would like run around the ring or scale the turnbuckles like they just scored the last minute winner in the top corner in a cup final, or like a triple OT winner in the NBA. Like, they had this energy where they would mess you up, celebrate it, and then mess you up again for good measure. I think, like, you know, calling them two of the stiffest wrestlers ever might surprise some people who aren't familiar with their earlier work. But, oh God, I was going to recommend a match, but I've just realized the WWE Network archive has been pilfered in the US. But check out WCW Wrestle War 1992. They wrestle, who do they wrestle? Tatsumi Fujinami and Takayuki Iizuka, who are coming over from Japan. It's gross, the level of just bullying they put on these two poor men. I mean, Fujinami, long-serving veteran, but Iizuka was only a couple of years into his career at this point, and my word, they must have done something to piss the Steiners off beforehand. They are some of the most fun to watch. They have that energy that's kind of lacking in wrestling a bit. You don't really get the schoolyard bully type character too often in wrestling, and it kind of sucks because you think of like Shingo today in New Japan, and you think of Kurt Angle at points in his career as most intense. Character just rules, man. And, you know, maybe with a few less head drops. Yeah, cool, perfect. No complaints there. But I wish someone would bring it back. I wish we had a 2021 version of the Steiner Brothers. You know, those guys were awesome.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's move on and talk about someone who I'm always scared to talk about in podcasts in case it gets back to him and I ever actually have to interview him. And that's Hardcore Holly, because I didn't need to mention him for people to realize that he's on this list. You just need to go back and remember poor Daniel Puder and that Royal Rumble where it was Guerrero and Benoit were with him when they just kicked the welcome to the business, kid, sort of thing. Yeah. But yeah, Hardcore Holly, I love him, but he keeps me awake at night sometimes when I remember what he's done in that squared circle.
Yeah, Hardcore Holly is someone, he has the reputation of, what's a fair word to say that won't get us in trouble? Being a bit grumpy, let's call him a bit grumpy. Yes. You know, loads of people have gone on the record and said, yeah, he was a piece of trash to me when I was there. Rene Dupree, Hardcore Holly, shot on him in a tag match in 2004. And of course, there's the horrendous Matt Capitelli thing on Tough Enough. But Hardcore Holly has also developed over the years this kind of bizarre cult following. A lot of it comes from like stories from like Bruce Pritchard, the how about you give me the belt? And I beat everybody, like stuff like that. But, like, his attitude to wrestling is kind of funny as this hard-nosed kind of vet. But he also just beat the tar out of each other, like, by all accounts, and I've never taken a bump because I'm a little wimp and I never want to. But by all accounts, back bumps are like some of the, just they just suck to take from
it's
everything.
A car crash analogy, isn't it, basically?
Yeah. Your whole body just goes thump on this rock hard surface. And Holly's Alabama slam was like one of the most forceful back bumps in the bit. I mean, he would put guys on his shoulder and then just whip them into this surface below with like no concept of a feathered touch whatsoever. In the article, I quoted this interview he gave with the two-man power trip of wrestling, where he was like, hey, the way I like to work is to make it as believable as possible without being real. Well, you've made it real a few times, Robert. He was undeniably stiff. He didn't use his stiffness for good a lot of the time, unfortunately. But yeah, man, like some of Hardcore Holly's heaviest hitting matches are just bone rattling stuff. And he was a hard ass. It's probably the best description for him.
Yeah, I just love comparing that. Like that, you say that reputation and that everything that comes with the image of Hardcore Holly with someone going, what if you make him a spaceman? I'm not telling him. You can go and bloody tell him. Slightly biased this, but I'm going to give a nod to a British wrestler because he's one of the people who's like top of my list of who I'd love to sit down and have a chat with him. I watched his, I think it was the Gorilla Position chat from a few years ago and backstage at some random show in England. And I could hear it, listen to him read the phone book. And yeah. He's someone I didn't appreciate at the time. And now going back, I appreciate so much more. But William Regal, probably more than likely informed by his growing up in the business in the UK.
Yeah.
He was a hard-hitting bastard. And that said with all the love in the world.
Yeah, he really was. Like a lot of people missed kind of like the really, really tough period of Regal's career, because for a lot of people who were coming in, maybe like at the end of the Attitude Era or you know, a lot of people of our age, would have just known this bumbling Englishman who was talking about being besmirched and fanning around with Tajiri and getting his tea pissed in. And stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But William Regal was a hard bastard, man. Like, not just in like laying in strikes and suplexes and slams like stiffness, but like his submission work was really snug and brutal and realistic looking. He was such a rugged guy, and he had those matches with Finlay in WCW in 1996 that are I don't think they understood it was a work. And I say that with the greatest compliment. Of course they did. I'm just kind of, fanning around a little bit. But I'm glad we actually picked William Regal here for the podcast, because he's got the best quote on like the concept of stiffness in wrestling. He said, I hit people very hard in very safe places. He said that on an old episode of Tough Enough. And that's what it's all about. Like for me, like some people don't always do this, Bob Holly, but the balance with stiffness is that, yes, you're hitting people really hard and it's brutal and it draws you into the match because it, oh, wow, this is real. But in reality, you're doing it safely and you're trying to do it on places that don't hurt. So, for example, like, a chop to a bare chest makes a ghoulish visual and a hell of a sound, but it's not as bad as someone just punching you straight in the skull, right?
Yes.
You can forearm someone relatively safely on the side of the neck and keep it padded and protected. But if you do that to the head or whatever, it's a lot worse. It's a bit more superficial. So yeah, Regal's one of the all-timers in this category for me. You see it in kind of later in his career when he came back for like the matches with Cesaro and Cassius Ohno and Dean Ambrose. You saw that kind of nasty, gritty, tough side coming out of him again. He had a great promo, in fact, before that Cesaro match that everyone should check out if you can. But yeah, William Regal, one of the all-time underappreciated hard pricks. I think he's a very compelling thinker of the business as well. And I can't think of many other people I'd rather have if I was running a promotion in charge of my kind of, whatever he does in WWE, he does a good job.
Yeah, a huge, huge what if around him winning the King of the Ring all those years ago. And God, I know that was the reason why people bought it. You know, he was, I'm not sure, I hope I don't offend him by saying this, he was one of the older competitors in King of the Ring, but you bought him because just bloody look at him. Like, all right, he's not going to do a 450 off the top rope. He doesn't need to when you look like that. I'm going to break with tradition as we conclude this here, Andy. Normally with these, I don't like to mention the number one on the list because you have to go and check it out at whatcrunch.com. But please do go and check out 10 stiffest WWE wrestlers ever, because sort of as you alluded to, Andy, this isn't like a 10 to 1 in terms of who's the number one best. It is just 10 people in an order that are really stiff. You and I have spoken about this before we started recording, that we had to include the number one entrant for a particular quote about him. So who is it, and what did Bret Hart say about him?
Bret Hart, in his very Bret Hart way, appearing on the WrestleZone Sharpshooter show, appropriate, in March 2016, likened the experience of wrestling Vader to wrestling a cement truck filled with barf. I'll read the whole section of the quote I took here. He was stiff, and he really was the S-H-I-T-S to work with. He was no fun. He hurt you constantly. Every punch or kick. I can remember he did a belly flop on me one time. He told me that he could do it safe and not hurt me or whatever, but my body felt violated. Vader's physicality was off the charts. I mean, he could slug. He was obviously a massive brick of a human being, properly just packed in mass on this guy. So you can imagine if he's running into you in the corner or hitting a Vader bomb coming off the second rope, brother, that's not going to be a fun experience. But the thing with Vader is obviously he kind of rose to prominence in Japan, and he was having these incredible punch-you-in-the-face matches with, like, Stan Hansen, Kenta Kobashi, Antonio Inoki, all these guys. Like, that's where he sharpened his style. Mm. He comes over to America, and it's a bit like, oh, boy, you're going to need to soften up a little bit. And he kind of did to an extent. I think Hulk Hogan was one of the many workers who was like, I am not wrestling that guy. Mm. I don't want to get hurt. And he did adapt in WCW with the help of Harley Race and Sting and a few others. That's all on record. But yeah, man, watching a good Vader match, there's nothing like it. You, never mind Bret Hart, you feel like your body is being violated watching a big Vader match. And the thing with Vader was, like, he could take it as well. He could take it as well. Like, a lot of these guys, you know, you hear stories about JBL getting comeuppance and stuff, and he was a very stiff wrestler himself. But Vader, man, this guy once got his eyeball knocked out of its socket, remember, in Japan, by Stan Hansen.
I remember, talking about this has just given me flashbacks. I remember back in the days of, like, Kazaa or LimeWire, all those dodgy, like, downloads. And I was in, you know, I was probably 13 and just, you know, just downloading all sorts of things on those platforms, let's just say. And, you know, there's a file called, like, wrestler gets eye knocked out. And I was like, well, that's obviously bollocks. Let's check this out. I remember watching it. And that was kind of me for the day. Because he just, it's the way he just goes, oh, he does it in a, what's the best way of describing it? He does it in a way that I would do it if someone said, oh, mate, before you start filming, your shirt's a bit untucked. And I go, oh, sorry, I just took that. He just goes, oh, my eyes come out of his socket. Back it goes. Yeah.
Back in you go, pal. It's like someone's false teeth have fallen out. They just pick them up and put them back in. Or they're like glasses or something like that. It's so nonchalant. And he finishes this match with Stan Hansen, who was obviously like another bull of a guy who would destroy dudes with lariats and stuff. It's something else. Vader was awesome in all Japan, in New Japan, everywhere in Japan he worked. He was incredible in WCW. A lot of his WCW work still stands up today, like 20, 30 years later, sorry. Like Ric Flair matches, the Sting matches, the Dustin Rhodes matches are really underrated and really great. But the reason a lot of this stuff really stands out is because he hit really hard and because he was like really stiff and everything else. So, you know, there's obviously things to be said about working too hard and working dangerously, but it's also kind of a shortcut to longevity because a lot of stuff from decades and decades ago, you watch it and it's like particularly high flying stuff, like formative, high flying, innovative stuff. You watch it now and you think, okay, well, yes, this was probably very exciting at the time, but these days a crossbody off the top rope isn't nothing compared to like a shooting star press or something in his example. But good old-fashioned stiff smash mouth wrestling, it's timeless. It's absolutely timeless. And rest in peace, Vader, because there's no chance we will ever see his like again.
No, exactly. I mean, to a certain extent, you can understand Shawn Michaels' reaction to working with him. But then you couple that with the reports from, like, Cornette is one I immediately think of what a nice guy he was and what, you know, an emotional guy he was as well. And, yeah, you can't help but love the big guy. And, yeah, it deserves the number one spot on this list. But there is lots of other wrestlers we haven't had time to mention. You need to go and check out because, yeah, if you think we've covered the stiffest wrestlers, we've ironically barely scratched the surface. Do go and check that out. Search for the 10 stiffest WWE wrestlers ever at whatculture.com right now. Continue the conversation with us on Twitter as well, at whatculturewwe. Oh, watch, they can follow Andy Murray at...
Follow me at Andy H. Murray. If you want to hear a great story about Ken Shamrock and The Rock and good banter and everything else, read the article. It's tremendous. That's what the H stands for, even though that there's no H. Okay.
No H in it. Right, you can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. But this has been another top 10 debate. My thanks to this article's author, Andy Murray. As I said, check out 10 stiffest WWE wrestlers ever at whatculture.com. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.